Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone.
I hope all of you are doing well. My family and I just another youth returned from camp last night from a week of camp, and Miss Jane Settle was very comical in asking me if we were all rested and relaxed. I remember as being a youth, when I was being a youth pastor, and that was always a joke among youth pastors when the senior pastor would come and say, "Well, I'm glad you had a great vacation when you go to camp." I'll tell you what, we're tired, but we had a great week. The preacher for the week was Will Gulkin, very possibly not someone you've heard of, but just a tremendous speaker of God's Word. And the kids responded. There were many kids who came to Jesus as Savior over this past week. Many kids who made decisions to commit their lives to God even more than they had before. It was a great time. But one of our youth was willing to and wanting to just kind of share something short. I told her it had to be short, of camp. So that's my daughter, Callie. I'm going to just get a little bit close to you just so it can be recorded. You can just do it right there.
Well, one thing I really liked was my cabin and all the people in my cabin. My counselor was so godly, and I looked up to her, and I want to be like her. And all the people in my cabin, I just love them, and I love to have fun with them.
Great. And that's really saying something when her sister was in her cabin too, so. So, but no, they had a great time. And I do have to say, one of the things that I love about the Wilds camp are the counselors. These are kids who, many of them, not all of them, but many of them are at a Christian college or university. And not all of them are studying to be in the ministry. In fact, I believe one of our, the counselor the boys had, is actually going into business. But he went to a Christian college and he loves the Lord with all his heart, and was just a great effect on the boys that were in his cabin, all, and of course all summer long, but we know about this week. And it was just a great time. I'd like to remind you that our golf tournament that was scheduled for July 29th is postponed to August 26th, or 6th. It was postponed because of weather. So we still have some time. I still have flyers and cards that you can give out to golfers, or if you know of a business that can post those in up so golfers can see that. We'd like to have a large turnout. What did I say? Oh, yeah, we're retroing. No, August 26th. My fault. So August 26th, it's Friday. If you golf, even if you don't golf, I'm not a golfer, but I love to get out there and just, I always say this, in 18 holes, if I can do one hit that's pretty nice, I've had a great golf day. And but you can just go and have a good time. It's Captain's Choice, for those that know what that is. And it's going to be here at Meadows Farm, just down the street from us. This past Wednesday, we had a missionary come to our Bible study. Her name is Carol Good. Now, she's a student that works with what's called CRU, formerly Campus Crusade for Christ. And she is also the niece of our own Joan Prassy. Now, we receive a newsletter, I believe it's monthly, from Carol, letting us know what's going on. Now, she's in China as an exchange student, and she's with other CRU students, Campus Crusade for Christ students, and they are exchange students. However, what their purpose there is to present Jesus to other Chinese, or to other students who are there in the country of China. They have had a tremendous ministry over the past year It's affected Carol's life so much, she's going back for another year. So if you weren't at Bible study, which unfortunately I wasn't able to be there because I was at camp, but I heard such wonderful reports on her report this past Wednesday. I don't know if we'll be able to have her back because she's just home for a short little time and heading back to China for another year. And I would like to talk about in the future, so I'm just kind of giving you a heads up, talk about helping her in her support. Because it does cost to be over there. And we would like, I think as a church body, she's over there sharing the gospel in a place we can't. I think it would be very wonderful if we could help her monetarily to continue doing what God's called her to do. But we'll talk about that later on. If I could, just transition a little bit. I'd like to tell a short little story that's about a man's father, Jeffrey Zaslow is his name, and he tells a story about his dad. He goes like this. Years ago, my father coached a team of eight-year-olds, and he had a few excellent players and some who just couldn't get the hang of the game. Dad's team didn't win once all season in the game of baseball. But in the last inning of the last game, his team was only down by one run. There was one boy who had never been able to hit the ball or catch it all season long. That was up. With two outs, it was his turn to bat, and he surprised that whole world and got a single. The next batter was the team slugger. Finally, Dad's players might win a game. The slugger connected, and as the boy who hit the single ran to second, he saw the ball coming toward him. Not so certain of baseball's rules, he caught it. And of course, that was the final out. Dad's team lost. Quickly, my father told his team to cheer. The boy beamed. It never occurred to him that he lost the game. All he knew was he had hit the ball and caught it, both for the first time. His parents later thanked my dad. Their child had never even gotten in a game before that particular season. We never told the boy exactly what happened. We didn't want to ruin it for him. Until this day, Jeffrey says, I'm proud of what my father did that afternoon. That is grace in action. That is grace in action based on the truth that boy was worth it. Over the past weeks, we've discussed that grace cannot be practiced in the absence of absolute truth. We've also discussed that truth cannot be lived or levied in the absence of grace. Last week, we reviewed the fact that truth is found in the beautiful grace of God through the sacrificial, love-filled cross that Jesus chose to suffer in our place, so that by God's grace, through faith, we could be made right before Him. This week, we're going to walk through some scriptural points of living out grace and truth. For we as Christians, we have the responsibility to continually practice grace and truth in balance so that we can live out grace-filled truth. Let's pray. Holy God, I thank you so much for this day. This is a special day. A special day and for our church body because we will have the opportunity to celebrate your son's loving sacrifice for us. To celebrate the fact that you're a God of grace, sending your son to die in our place, to pay the payment for our sin, and by grace you lavish your mercy and love upon us because of it. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Open my heart and mind. Open the heart and minds of all who hear me today. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. This has been our theme passage for this series of grace-filled truth. Today, the title of the sermon is Grace-Filled Truth, but it's part 2. The Bible is clear that we are to be like Jesus. Passage after passage in the New Testament speaks that we are to be Christ-like, that we are to mimic the life of Jesus. As we read this theme passage for this sermon series, I hope that we can understand the importance of each of us living a life full of grace and truth. So if you'll follow with me, John chapter 1, starting at verse 14, and then verses 16 to 17. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed His glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Indeed, we have all received grace after grace from His fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith, and upon our salvation, we are sealed and empowered by the Holy Spirit with enough measure of grace for each day to pursue the truth of God's Word in order to be in action according to His purpose or work. It is a work and purpose that He has predetermined for us, and this truth can be found in simple passages like Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, and chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. Therefore, if we're to live like Jesus, if we're to be like Him, if we call ourselves Christians, and therefore we are to live like Jesus, then we have the capacity to be full of grace and truth, just like our Lord Jesus. Now understand, I say we have the capacity. But Christian, hear me, we do not always allow ourselves to be filled to capacity with God's grace and truth. So today, we're going to walk through what God expects of us in the fullness of grace and truth, living like Jesus. It is grace and God's grace that will give each of us, now hear this word, will give each of us power. Now, I know for myself, since I was a kid and even today, I love superheroes. I do. Spider-Man being one of my favorites. Okay? I mean, you know, can walk up walls, can jump, you know, from here to there, can, you know, is really strong, has that spider sense, so any danger that comes, man, he's ready to go. That's some power, isn't it? We all are enamored by power. Maybe for some of you it might be some hero, a real life hero, you know, that John Wayne hero type. Maybe not from the movies, but maybe someone you knew or knew of that did some spectacular feat and you've just always admired that. What about feats of grace? Feats of grace based in the truth of God's Word. That's real power. It's real power. It is superhuman. No, it's supernatural. And it is by God's grace that we, each of us, have the power to live as Jesus lived in truth. This means that we'll have grace to live out the truth of God's Word even when living that way isn't popular and maybe even strange to our culture. Scripture does not have to fit into our culture. It is what I call transgenerational and transcultural. It spans through and above all generations and all culture. Because God's word is truth. We established that in the very first sermon in this series called Absolute Truth. So then we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus said these words, "No one can be a slave of two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves of God and of money, or God and the things of this world." You can't. It is not possible. God's grace, then, gives us a desire to know, I love this word, all the treasures of God that can be found in His Word. It enables us to live like Jesus in grace and truth. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, he said, "I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him." I love that. All the wisdom, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Christ. So where do we find this treasure? Where do we find these riches of wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ? Well, by the power of grace in us as Christians, we will gain a desire for God's Word, which is where we'll find those treasures. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding, furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God." How many of you have ever, back in the day, enjoyed watching Jacques Cousteau? Now, for those of you who are maybe younger than some of us in this room, you might not know who that is. He was an adventurer. And though he looked at the animal kingdom often, he also was a treasure hunter. And he would dive on sunken ships and just all these adventurous places and find things that had been hidden for years and years and years. He sought them out all over the world and went to the most remote and exotic places you could ever think of, seeking wonders and treasure. How many of you know heard of John D. Rockefeller? Now, we don't know him, probably. He's well passed away. John D. Rockefeller sought money. Money. A reporter asked him one time, "Mr. Rockefeller, how much money's enough?" This is when he was the richest man in the world, and he said, "One more dollar." In other words, it's never enough. Proverbs says, if we will seek God's word, His commands, like we would seek riches and treasure, man, it's at that point we'll understand the fear of the Lord. We'll discover the knowledge of God. Now, I want you to think about this. Discovering the knowledge of God, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, that's what the serpent, Satan, tempted Eve with. And then tempted Adam, who then tempted Adam to sin against God because they would gain the knowledge of God, when simply it could be known by just knowing God. The point here is, with the power of grace in our lives, we will have, if we are truly Christians, if we are true believers, and we say, God, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Now, we can be a true Christian and get our fire insurance and not submit ourselves to God, to Jesus, I should say, as our boss. We might have done it initially and then said, no, I kind of want to run my own way. Well, then you will be under God's punishment, and that's a whole other sermon. Or I should say, discipline. But if we are ones that love God and we say, Jesus, be boss of my life, then grace, the power of grace, will give us a desire for His Word, to know it and seek it. And we can then live it. There's no greater understanding of this concept than King David in the Old Testament. I don't have time to go into exactly who he is, but it's in the Old Testament, and you can read about him. You can start in Samuel and just read through that. You'll catch up with David. But King David expressed this fact in Psalm 119, verses 10 through 11. Listen to what he said. I have sought you, Almighty God, with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commandments, from your word. I have treasured your word in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. As we store up God's truth from His Word, we'll then have the power of grace building in our lives to put God's purposes for our life to action. God has, as we've talked about, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, God has already preordained work for you, Christian, work for me, Christian, to do. And by God's grace, as we study His Word and seek Him through His Word, through His truth, then we, through the power of grace, will have the power and the ability to live it out and to live out God's purpose for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. Therefore, with your minds ready for action, be serious and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance. But as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. God's purpose for us as individuals and as a church body is that we are to be holy. And that's a tough concept. That is not something that in our humanness we can have and obtain. It is supernatural. But grace gives us power to act out holiness, to live it out, to be holy. While we grow in grace and truth, then, God, by His grace, will change our hearts towards holiness. As our heart changes, so will our communication. Jesus pointed this out during His earthly ministry. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, He said, a good man produces good out of the good storeroom of his heart. An evil man produces evil out of the evil storeroom, for his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. This is not the only place Scripture tells us this, that as we think, we speak. Well, if we're flooding our minds with the things of the world, and then we try to speak Christianese to sound all holy and everything, who are we fooling? Honestly, you're only fooling yourself. Because other people can see it. They can see right through you. And God absolutely can see it, because he knows what's in the heart. And when you're with people of the world, what is your communication? What's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of my mouth? Kurt, what's coming out of your mouth when you're with this person or that person? Are you putting on a facade of holiness, Kurt? Or do you have the heart of God because you're studying His Word? Because by the power of grace, you are desiring to know God. And therefore, what comes out of my mouth is that of Jesus. The power of grace will give us a loving communication for the betterment of others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "No foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear." God's grace is based on the truth of God's Word. It should permeate our lives so much that we faithfully put to action grace. And this is the grace that we've been given by God upon our salvation through Jesus. Grace, remember, is receiving what we do not deserve. That's what grace is. It's receiving what we absolutely don't deserve. Like that boy catching that ball and then receiving all those cheers. He didn't deserve that. He lost the game. But what a beautiful picture of grace. The Apostle Peter understood this and conveyed this truth in 1 Peter, his letter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. "Above all, maintain an intense love for each other, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Based on the gift," listen to this, "based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, it should be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To Him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." The more we practice graciousness based on truth, the truth of God's Word, toward others, the more we will be filled by that same grace, the grace of God. That's what's meant from our theme passage in verse 16 of John chapter 1, which says, "Indeed, we have all received grace after grace from His," from God's fullness. God cannot be emptied of grace. We can. We need to receive grace after grace from God's fullness. John Piper said it like this: "So grace is not only a past experience of pardon. It is a future experience of power to do what God commands us to do. This is why gratitude for past grace is not fuel for today's obedience. You can't run your car on gratitude for yesterday's gas. You need today's gas for today's trip. You need today's grace for today's obedience." So grace gives us the power to pursue and know God through His Word on a daily basis. And it gives us the power to expand His grace toward others daily. Grace also gives us the power to be a wellspring of grace, or you might call it a hub of grace, for others that we come in contact with. This is beyond reading. When we talk about the power of studying God's Word, knowing it, the power to act upon it, but there's more. There is the power then that grace gives us to meditate on His Word. Now, we flippantly say this word, meditate, but meditating on God's Word is how we are continually filled with grace throughout a day. So it's not just the reading and studying, but it's taking pieces of what we've read and studied in a day and mulling it over, repeating it to ourselves, thinking, how can I live this out? It might have been just a phrase or a word, and God just tweaked our heart as we were reading it. How can I be this today? And we repeat it to ourselves over and over. We think about it each day or for that day, gaining then the fullness of God's grace. God tells us through the psalmist in Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is a picture of meditating. With grace, we have the power to meditate on God, to meditate on His Word, on who He is. We can taste God, and we can see that He is good. The bottom line is this. As a Christian individual and as a church body, we have the responsibility to live a life of balanced grace and truth. To live a life of grace-filled truth. We are to expend the grace, the fullness of God's grace, because we have the capacity for full grace every day. We are to take it in through study of God's Word, through that meditation, and then we are to expend it to everyone on a daily basis. This is not something to binge on every couple months or so. This is something that should be a daily practice. Now, doesn't mean we're going to be successful every day. We're human. We fail. Well, that's another beauty of grace, isn't it? We can get back up. God will take us right where we're at. Forget in the past. Be filled with grace today. Be filled with grace today. So the challenge then for this week is to live a life in grace in the light of truth. Remember, to live a life of grace without truth is freedom beyond God's commands. To live a life of truth without grace is to live a life of legalism, to live a life of rules and regulations, but to live a life of in the balance of grace and truth, that's truly something that takes God daily in our lives. So our challenge is to do this, and then to practice, consciously practice, expending grace to others in truth. Expending grace to others. That means, hey, God has absolute truth, but how do we show that grace, tell that grace, or tell that truth, show that truth in grace? And we are to practice that. Well, how do we do that? Well, by meditating, tasting God all through the day. I hope that we can do this. This kind of a challenge is not easy. I hope that as we go today, that we will, from communion, understand the pardoning power of grace in our lives. I hope that we will realize that it doesn't stop there, but that God's grace gives us power to know Him through His Word, to act out His purpose of loving people to loving Jesus, and then to meditate on His Word to continually fill our capacity for the fullness of His grace. To be like Jesus, full of grace and truth. May God bless you. You are dismissed.